Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, hold your calls now, please. All right, we have with us this afternoon Colonel Barry Turner, and of course he's retired from the military. He was trained in electrical and mechanical engineering, and has served in a number of foreign countries through the years. But now, of course, he is spending his time trying to educate people about what's going on. And he says, of course, he was made aware of what was going on many years ago when he ran into a woman, Dr. Little. Anyway, Dr. Little apparently had made him aware of some of the forces that are working behind the scenes as far as creating this one world government. Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Good evening, or good afternoon, your time. Yes, thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, of course, it's midnight over there in Great Britain.
Oh, yes.
So, for our listeners, why Colonel Turner is very, very kind to be with us. But you've been studying this movement towards world government for a long time, haven't you?
Well, yes. I suppose it goes back some 40 years when I began to get the feel that things were not quite as they seem to somebody in the army leading a sort of, you know, fairly innocent sort of life, doing his job and playing sport and that sort of thing. And as the years passed, the political scene began to worry me more and more. It's very difficult to put a finger on. One found things going on in education that didn't quite make sense to me. And it was in 1985, which would be, when I met Dr. Kitty Little. It was a sheer fluke. I'd been in Kent having a very good dinner with an old Territorial Army colonel friend of mine, and leaving not in the best state of repair the following morning, I called in on some other Army friends, and they had written a number of books. I'd written one book, and they said, you know, how do you like to take on this project? And the project happened to be AIDS. And they wanted me to write a faction book on this, give them a synopsis, and they would put it to a leading publisher. And this fell through because the end of the year, when I'd written about 30,000 words, the evening press announced, AIDS, is it man-made? Now, at that time, it was very low profile. 6 months later, Rock Hudson hit the headlines. And, of course, you know, the project would have taken off, but I was 6 months out of time. And I determined to meet Dr. Little, who they'd met at a dinner in London, talked biological warfare, which was a theme connected to AIDS. And eventually I met her, and I arrived at her flat in Oxford at midday, and apart from the sort of getting up for the usual calls, I sat at the table absolutely riveted until 6 o'clock in the evening. And Kitty was a scientist who had worked for the Medical Research Council. She had worked for a Professor Truater on bone pathology. She was a bone pathologist. She had used the electron microscope at Harwell and got to know the security people there.
Oh, we're going to have to hold that thought for just a moment or two. We're going to have to, of course, drop some of our stations. We'll bring others on, and then in a few minutes we'll have them all together. But we'll be back in just a moment or two to begin to pursue this amazing story with Colonel Turner. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. Well, our guest this afternoon is Colonel Barry Turner. He's, of course, retired from the military. He was trained in electrical and mechanical engineering, and having served for many years in the military, he really became aware of something going on, perhaps 20 or more years ago. And he would, of course, was interested very much, as I was at that time, in the AIDS epidemic. And he had written rather extensively on it, and then an article appeared. You didn't hear it here in America, but it appeared in the London Times, and it said that AIDS was a man-made virus, and it had been put in the smallpox vaccine and circulated and was killing off Africa, you know, at that time. And, of course, that was something that you never heard here in the United States because of the blocking out of and I really think in many respects that was sort of a diversion to keep us from really understanding what was really going on. But anyway, the next thing he met, Dr. Kitty Little, and she was a bone pathologist, a trained physician, very well known and very well thought of. And she began to introduce him into the fact that there are forces working behind the scenes that are really controlling so much of what's going on. Would that be a fair appraisal? Or would you want to pick up the story from there?
Yes, it certainly would be. Kitty used to hold lunch parties about every 2 months in her flat in Oxford, and I met a dozen different people there. At the time, of course, there was a great battle going on against the signing of the Single European Act and Final Act, which was one of the critical stages in our integration in a federal European state. And another person battling with Kitty was Lady Caroline Neal. And they worked together, and they were having the devil of a job getting any documents dealing with Europe out of the European office in London, whereas apparently such material was freely available on the continent, almost as though there was a determination not to, you know, let us have the information.
And, of course, she was well aware of the fact that the European Union was not what it was purported to tell to be, but it was part of a much bigger and certainly more diabolical scheme. Would that be a fair statement?
Europe means many things to many people. One of the battles, of course, is to retain our national sovereignty and not be submerged by what really is an insane bureaucracy. It isn't made any better, of course.
Hold that thought for just a moment here.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Barry Turner, and he, of course, had run into a woman named Dr. Kitty. Kitty Little, and of course she had begun to try to inform him and many other people about the European Union, and this would have been sometime in the late 1980s, and at that time, of course, the British people had been told, this is just a matter of trade, just sort of like we were told here in the United States. NAFTA is only for trade, and look at the tremendous advantage. Look at all the advantages we're going to have by opening up our borders, and look at all the advantages we're going to have with all those 100 million Mexicans down there. We can sell to them, and even though we have a positive balance of payment now, it's going to be a lot better, and it's going to benefit us so much. Of course, they were lying. Actually, we went from a positive trade balance to a negative trade balance, but they knew that was going to happen, and they couldn't let the American people know that. Well, anyway, the same sort of things were happening over in England. They were not getting the truth about what the European Union was all about, and Colonel Turner was saying that as they were trying to get the information out of Europe as to what was really happening and what was really planned with the European Union as far as the destruction of Great Britain and its national sovereignty, they were running into all sorts of barriers. So you pick up the story there, please, Colonel.
Yes. If you can go back, in fact, to 1931. There are many stages in this. When Professor Arnold Toynbee gave an address in Denmark, when it was made quite clear that nationalism, national boundaries, national identity, were going to be cause, if you like, to disappear by stealth. Now, that received very little publicity, except in specialist literature. In 1947, Peter Thornycroft, later Lord Thornycroft of the Conservative Party, chaired a committee which produced a pamphlet called Design for Europe. Now, in that, it was made quite clear that the old Commonwealth trade links were going to be dissolved. And this was where I think the advance of globalization was coming. And the Commonwealth trade preference was just going to vanish. But it was explicit in this document that this was going to be done by stealth. In other words, the ordinary people were not going to be aware of what was taking place. If you then go to the the coal and steel treaty in 1951, this was an innocent sounding treaty, but in effect it was laying down the organizations that were going to ensue and were going to evolve through the Treaty of Rome in 1957 and so on and so forth, and have come to fruition today. And in 1971-72, presentations by Edward Heath as secondly in 72 as Prime Minister made it clear that we were not going to lose sovereignty, we're not going to lose our judicial independence.
But he was lying, wasn't he?
This is well known, well established. I've got several of the documents in question. And, of course, it's proved to be patently untrue.
And, of course,
the threat was there then.
But, of course, isn't everything really based upon deceit and deception and lying to the common people? Only the elite, like, of course, Arnold Toynbee and the people within this elite group, and Heath and the people who maybe manipulate both political parties, really understood what it was about, because they knew the British people wouldn't want to give up their sovereignty, wouldn't want to give up their system of law, wouldn't want to give up their freedom to a supranational, bureaucracy.
Well, this is quite right. Hilaire de Berrier, the late Hilaire de Berrier, who, of course, produced his excellent HDB reports for many years, refers to the United States' involvement in the early preparations for Europe after the war. He quotes the CIA. He quotes names like David Bruce, Dean Acheson, Jean Monnet, of course, and Robert Schuman from Europe as being involved in the plans to create a federal European state. The thinking has been with us for a long time, and it has been gradually taking place. Really, it's taken place over such a long period that people have almost become sort of immune to it, apart from those who are politically aware and, become determined that it isn't to take place. But, I mean, the battle is now on, and we have this argument about a referendum on the draft constitution here. Whether we shall get a referendum or not, I don't know. But public feeling generally, I think, is very hostile. And you have the other problem, you see, the what is the planning and what is a logical sort of rational change in regional government here, you see, in breaking us down into regions. And the pattern proposed by the present government, and the pattern which is well known, matches pretty well the regions proposed on the European map. Now, the European map of 1985, I think it was, shows Europe broken down into regions, but on the map of the United Kingdom, the name England is missing. It's just not there. And it's shown as broken down. I think it's into 8 regions. Scotland into 4 regions. Northern Ireland 1. And I think Wales 1 or 2. Without the map. But it's roughly along those lines. Now, this sort of subterfuge has been going on all the time.
Now, basically, then, they were just simply doing an end run around your elected parliament.
Yeah. But, you see, there's been a great deal of pressure under this government to institute the regions as such. And the Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott got a bloody nose in the northeast because there was a move against regional government as opposed to the existing form of government. And there was a referendum in the northeast, and Prescott was roundly defeated. But there have been meetings around the country attempting to establish this regional form of government. And it's been very difficult for the people opposed to it to get into the meetings or to have a hearing. So there's something, you know, there's something fishy going on.
Well, of course, this is an elitist concept. These people have been working for generations to bring about this idea of a world government, and they know that people don't want it. H.C. Wells wrote a book back in the 1930s called The New World Order, where he said millions will object to the New World Order and will die fighting it. They anticipate the opposition of the common people, but the elitists have their agenda. And, you know, it really doesn't matter how the people vote. It's who counts the votes that really makes the difference.
Well, when you talk about voting, I mean, my personal view is that democracy, generally promoted, is a palpable farce. I mean, I think you have the same problem in the United States. You have two major parties with not that much difference between them, backed by massive vested interests and financial power. Once they have your vote between elections, what say has the man in the street got in the detail running this country? The same here. We've got, I suppose you could say, 2.5 parties. We've got the Labour Party, we've got the Conservative Party, and we've got the Liberal Democrats. But there's precious little difference between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party in principle.
Well, it's just the same here in America, the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. They fight, they put on a great show. It's sort of like, well, we call them Abbott and Costello or Laurel and Hardy. They were very well-known comedians, and they do a great job of convincing the American people that there's a difference. But, of course, as George Wallace said before they shot him, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats when you get right down to it.
No, the farce, of course, is extended when we peddle democracy overseas, and we peddle democracy where it suits us. We certainly haven't peddled it in Indonesia, and we haven't peddled it in Chile, or didn't, because the regimes there have suited us. Democracy, I think, is generally peddled where we think we can weaken an existing system of government, which happens probably to suit the particular culture. In the Middle East, of course, this is typical. Wherever we can establish power. Of course, at the end of the day, what we're looking at is there's a very different game being played out, as I call it, up there, by a ruling establishment elite. There is a level in society, nationally and internationally, where a different game is being played out altogether, and it's a battle for power. It's a battle for economic power. And in this social, political, and economic system, we find that, as in the case of our national identity vis-à-vis Europe, the battle is national versus international. Now, in this country, you had, years ago, say 30, 40, 50 years ago, you had the traditional conservative values of those the establishment, the landed establishment, the city establishment, the industrial capitalist establishment, if you will, versus the Labour Party, which promoted, quite rightly, the interests of the working classes. And they had it was a long evolution from the 19th century. But, I mean, people were working in pretty awful conditions and mines in the 1920s still. Now, one could understand that. Now, those differences have blurred. The present Labour Party is certainly not a Labour Party as such. The new Labour, as they call it, is an international Fabian socialist government. And when you say international, all national considerations of race, culture, and so on, go out of the window, like religion. This was basically a Christian country. Once you open the borders, you begin to blur all those national elements.
All right, you're going to have to hold that.
Internationalism is all that.
You're going to have to hold that thought in just a moment. We'll be right back here with Colonel Barry Turner, and we're going to be talking about the move to destroy Great Britain. But don't feel bad, ladies and gentlemen, because the same forces, identical forces, are here at work in America.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Barry Turner, and he's calling from Great Britain. It's midnight over there. It's a little bit later, but he's good enough to come on because to share his concern about what's happening at Great Britain. And what people must understand is we have parallel cultures. We originally both came from Christendom, and of course, unfortunately, why Christianity has been under severe attack in Great Britain for a long time, all of Europe, of course, but England has been targeted, just as here in the United States. They've taken prayer out of our schools and God out of our schools, and any politician who would dare to get up and say what everybody knew 50 years ago, and that we were founded as a Christian nation on Judeo-Christian principles, why they would be attacked and vilified and demonized by both the conservative and the liberal media. In fact, everybody is, of course, saying about, well, we certainly hope the next pope is not going to keep those old-fashioned ideas of, you know, morality and being against abortion and against women priests. Why, we certainly hope the next pope is going to be aggressive. Well, why do you mean that? Those were the traditional views of the Catholic Church, you know, for 1,000 years, and yet suddenly the media and all the commentators on the media want the Catholic Church to change. Well, they want our society to change, and they want to destroy the fundamental Christian beliefs of both great branches of Christendom. So why don't you pick up the story there, Colonel?
Well, if you take the present problem, a major threat, I believe, to the West, and it was first highlighted, it came to my notice in the old Spotlight newspaper, which has since closed. It was highlighted in terms of cultural communism. Now, we've already got the public being diverted by entertainment, sport, and control of what they are told and the form in which they are told anything. So the public is increasingly ignorant of what is afoot. Noam Chomsky was particularly good on this in Chronicles of Dissent, in his conversations with David Bessemian, where he made quite clear that our opinions were being controlled and our information was being controlled, and I don't think it's any secret. Now, the great threat is political correctness. It first appeared in print as cultural communism. Now, when Karl Marx realized that he wasn't going to be able to foment bloody revolution in the West, although he did try in Germany after the 1914-18 war, the next ploy was to go for the cultural revolution and undermine society, in other words, to attack family, morality, religion, and so on. Now, this was launched at the Frankfurt Institute for Social Research, known as the Frankfurt School, in the early 1920s. It also has distinct connections with the Italian communist leader, Gramsci. And this has been progress through they call it the march through the institutions. Now, we have people whose training, whose philosophy has been conditioned by this cultural communism, and they're now in positions, in important positions in academia, in the civil service, in civilian life generally. And you see, we now have political correctness being applied to control our thought so that we can only reflect the correct position, which is typical Marxism-Leninism. And this is a long process where the training of young teachers, the conditioning of people administering the health service, the police, have their freedom of judgment and certainly freedom of expression increasingly constrained. It becomes impossible to discuss openly a number of issues, contentious issues. We have this question of homosexuality, where one has to be very careful how one goes about any discussion of homosexuality. Now, the legalization of that was one of the objectives of the people from the Frankfurt School in the 1920s.
And, of course, they knew if they could legalize homosexuality and destroy the moral and sexual mores of our country, why, they could destroy the country. They called it marching through the culture. Wasn't that the term they used, Colonel?
Yes, that's a very good term. I mean, there are silly things like chair instead of chairman. Now, it's been adopted by the BBC, a lot of official literature. Local government authorities use the term. And it's a form of intimidation. It sounds very silly that you no longer use the or people attempt to stop you using the term chairman, which is who the hell wants to bother with quibbling over something like that?
Well, of course, the question it's sort of like, is God male or female? Maybe we should just say he and she. That would nobody
Absolutely.
Would be offended. We'll be right back in just a moment here.
Or is the Lord Jesus Christ homosexual? But you see, we have a police...
Hold that thought right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought, please.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about. Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Colonel Turner. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Barry Turner. He's talking about really this effort to undermine the social fabric of both Great Britain and the United States, because we are both under attack from the same forces. These people have infiltrated our universities. They control our great foundations. They're working within our military. They're certainly working within our schools. They're working in key positions in the bureaucracy. They're even working within our churches, undermining the religious faith of our people. So pick up the story there, Colonel.
Yes, okay. Incidentally, I've been listening to your advertisements for various things to drink and eat to prolong life. My own recommendation for an elixir of life is more whiskey, but there we are. let me go back to South Africa as a way of picking up the threads, because we know that a great soft underbelly is being created in society. When I was in South Africa, Dr. Buthelezi's constitutional lawyer, an Italian-American called Mario Ambrosini, suggested to me that one could look at any situation of this magnitude as peeling away the layers of an onion. In other words, each successive layer interrelated but had a different slant, a different motivation. And I think it's a very good way of looking at it. But perhaps I could go back to the communist influence and international socialism as it affects, I believe, the thinking on Europe in a big way. Now, communism was referred to as the fast track to socialism. Fabianism, the slow track. In 1912, Walter Rathenau stated that 300 men who know each other and constantly select those who will succeed them direct the economic destinies of the world. Nicholas Murray Butler, a Fabian in 1937, stated, "Communism is the instrument with which the financial world can topple national governments and then erect a world police and a world money." Now, here I think we have a very important key to what is going on, and as I say, it depends on the layers of the onion, how far you dig down. But the ultimate power is that of money and its creation, which is now virtually out of control. The First and Second International, I recall, were both communist internationals. Then, I think it was during the Second World War, the First World War, sorry, we had what was called the Second and a Half International, which was a socialist international. Then we had the Third International, the Comintern, around about 1920, which was a communist international. Now, the Two and a Half and the Third Internationals were the parting of the waves between communism, as it became, which became, of course, Marxism-Leninism, and socialism. Now, one is the fast track, the other is the slow track, but the same objectives to achieve a communist dictatorship, which, of course, suits the global power brokers, because if you subject the population along these lines, then the ultimate money power and the power of the conglomerates is unchallenged. And this, I think, is where we're gradually heading, to be quite honest. Now, Professor Carol Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope in 1966 or 67.
66.
1,348 pages. Now, I don't know how well known it is in the United States, but this is a very good analysis, and Quigley claimed to be an insider. This is a very good analysis of how the world power structure had evolved and was going to continue to evolve. The other book, which I think is a definitive reference, is Fabian Freeway by Rose L. Martin, which was published in 1966. Now, this relates how Fabian socialism and Marxism leached across the Atlantic into the United States. There you had people like Joseph Pagani, who had been a revolutionary in Romania, I think it was, Hungary, under Bela Kun. And that was a bloody revolution, which followed the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. Now, Joseph Pagani went to the United States and was assimilated, if you like, into the left-wing establishment. One of the names he used, and the most commonly known name, is Joseph Pepper. Now, where did these trails lead? Now, I read a number of the congressional investigations of the 1950s, and in the United States then, the nature of communism was well known. It was very well known. Now, where's that knowledge gone? Where did it go? It vanished as the power structures evolved. I mean, this is the only way I can really define it. The principles remained, and we are now approaching the stage, I think, where globalization and money power have achieved, or are fast achieving, their objectives. Of course, we get to account for China coming up fast from behind, and India to a lesser extent. But you're into global power, and the communists system, if you like, has been a sort of carrier wave around which this has evolved. During the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, again, a different game was being played. Now, if one of my soldiers in Germany had passed over as much as a spanner to somebody who proved to be a communist agent, he'd have been in court and doing time very quickly. Now, the governments both major political parties were signing agreements on collaboration with the Soviet Union in the field of technology, biotechnology, agriculture, nuclear energy, media, and culture. Now, we were signing agreements in command government command papers while the public was living on in ignorance and innocence while I and many others were in Germany facing the Warsaw Pact. So you have a totally different game going on. And Dr. Anthony C. Sutton, who died a year or two ago in national suicide, military aid for the Soviet Union, wrote how Western capitalist interests, while all this was going on, were busy dealing with Russia. And it is written that, for example, during the Vietnam War, I think it was ships being supplied through Western capitalist interests, which were used by the North Vietnamese, and trucks were being used, which had been manufactured in a Soviet plant provided by the West.
Absolutely,
he followed it up with another book, an update called The Best Enemy Money Can Buy.
Yes, we still carry that book. In fact, we have an interview with Professor Sutton I did back in 1980 called The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. What you're saying is so true. It's so difficult for the average person out there to realize that from its very inception, communism has been funded by capitalists and has been funded by the West, just as we're building up communist China today. It doesn't make sense if you look at it logically, but from what you're saying, obviously it makes sense.
Well, ultimately, of course, you're talking about power. And what is the ultimate projection of this? Are we going to finish up with one bloody great global company, one single global company, when the entire landmass is covered by dual carriageways and urban development, and all the trees and foliage and the rest have disappeared? I mean, nobody seems quite clear on where we're going. And of course, China's now coming fast on stream. The price of oil is rocketing, and the major oil companies are scratching around for new deposits. I mean, you read this in the pages of the Financial Times regularly now. I don't know the name of the company, I've got it somewhere, a Chinese computer company have bought up a chunk of IBM. Now, you're going into the same problem like the Japanese motor industry and its effects 10, 20 years ago, where the open borders, the free trade, is going to result in certain domestic industries running down. I mean, in the UK now, we have one independent major motor manufacturer, Rover MG, which is still struggling. They're trying to do a deal with China. Now, the rest of it, apart from very specialist brands of car, is assembling Japanese-owned cars, or American-owned. In Germany, of course, they have unemployment problems. General Motors are in trouble. Daimler Chrysler are having problems. We are overproducing in an enormous way. And in effect, it's all based on the money system, which I regard as a sort of an electric power grid which can be controlled and controls the destiny of everything else dependent on it, or is there a blood circulation system of the body. And this is what is happening, and the creation of money, he's now virtually out of control, as David C. Corton wrote in an excellent book called When Corporations Rule the World. And I think we need to know where we're going. But all these earlier developments, if you like, going back to the French Revolution, the secret societies of the 19th century, and there were many of them, well written up by Lady Queenborough in Occult Theocracy. But there's a continuity here right through the 20th century into the 21st century. And this continuity has allowed everything to, if you like, revolve around it. And this is the state we're in. And I think one of the problems now is that there's a tendency, certainly in this part of the world, to define critics of what is going on as left-wing. And those proponents of what is going on, the supporters of this unlimited capitalism, as right-wing. These terms are bandied about, and they tend to be very misleading these days. I think you have a situation in which one should really think in terms of what is right and what is wrong. And people now, ordinary individuals, are in the most dreadful situation as far as debt is concerned. Corporate debt and individual private debt is escalating. I studied this for some time. I'm certainly not an economist, but you can see the patterns.
Yes, you certainly can. And first, recently our president gave an inauguration speech, and during the speech he referred to fire in the minds of men. It's a phrase. But of course anybody who's really studied what you have studied and I have studied knows where that comes from. It comes from, well, first of all, it comes from a book written by Dostoevsky talking about this world revolution, but it was popularized by the James H. Billington, who's the Librarian of Congress, certainly no right-wing conservative at all. He's part of the elite, but he writes about the secret societies behind the world revolution. Fire in the Minds of Men, a very important book. I don't know if that circulates over there in Great Britain, but this is one of the five most important books in my library, along with, of course, Tragedy and Hope and the book on the foundations. But until people understand that there is this continuity of secret societies, and here's Billington, the Librarian of Congress, former director of Smithsonian, writing about secret societies, and yet anybody who talks about that today is immediately demonized and marginalized.
Oh, yes.
By, of course, the by the mass media. Incidentally, one of our callers, one of our listeners called in and said that in the United States Senate today, Senator Imhoff was got up and talked about how the United States is transferring both nuclear and missile technology to communist China. Now, why would you do something that foolish when China is one day will be our major competitor? Right now she's an economic competitor, but she's already talked about attacking Los Angeles if we try to stop her from taking Taiwan. Why would we be building up the best enemy our money and technology could buy unless there are forces behind what's going on? And I agree with you totally. The average individual in America really doesn't understand what you're talking about, but they should, because you've given a beautiful summary of the forces that work behind the scenes, controlling both the right and the left, and making mockery, of course, of the democratic process.
Well, we have a continuity of since the Illuminati of 1776, the French Revolution, through the Masonic Carbonari in Italy and the Decabrists in Russia of the 1820s, and the numerous secret societies. We had Grand Orient Freemasonry, which became the Scottish Rite in America. The interesting point here, you see, is that Albert Pike was the Grand Master. Giuseppe Mazzini was an Italian revolutionary. Now, I've got three contemporary biographies of the of Mazzini, and this connection was never mentioned. And yet, Lady Queenborough in Occult Theocracy mentions or lists she records the correspondence. There was a considerable correspondence between these two. When you have this degree of secrecy, you have to ask what on earth is going on. You have the Skull and Bones Society. Now, that's pretty well known. But then you go into organizations like the Bilderberger Group, the Aspen Institute, the Davos conferences. And you have a continuity here. It's interesting that when Monsanto were under fire, and this Labour government in its first term, 1997-98, attempted to sell out, if you like, the genetically modified food business to Monsanto. They sold out to Monsanto. And the anti-GM campaigners had the devil of a job, but the public did at least catch on to this one, and it was stopped. Now, at the time, the Monsanto chief executive attended a meeting of the Bilderberg Group. Now, you don't have these links by accident. And again, you know, you see this. Now, in my earlier days, which led me to writing the On Target newsletter, I studied the company annual report and the Who's Who reference. I went right through that. I drew up a chart with the names of leading public figures, leading industrialist bankers down the left-hand side, and the companies across the top. Now, I put in crosses where the names and the companies coincided, and where you could draw lines to link up the same name, for example, on the board of a leading bank, on the board of a leading newspaper, perhaps on the board of, say, Anglo-American Gold in South Africa.
And so that's and getting pretty close to the center of this whole power structure.
Absolutely.
You know, we're just about out of time. But do you have a website or how people could get your newsletter if they wanted to?
No.
Well,
let me see.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to get you back. Go ahead.
You ready? The On Target. Now, there's On and a space and Target.
On.
Space Donald dot Martin, MARTIN, at FSB Dial, DIAL.
All right, fine. We're out of time, but thank you so very much.
.co.uk.
I will be getting in touch with you off the air, and I'd love to get you back on some of our other programs.
Well,
God bless you. Thank you so very much.
We really scratched the surface, but thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
It's been a pleasure.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dennegan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media. Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hofsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I will not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve it?
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Colonel Barry Turner, calling us from Great Britain. There are people, small groups of people throughout the world, who really do understand what's going on. Now, we do carry several of the books he mentioned. We carry Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, going into how we created the best enemy money could buy, and our great corporations build up Adolf Hitler. And then, of course, if you read what Professor Quigley wrote in his book, Tragedy and Hope, which we also carry, you'll find out that Hitler was encouraged at every turn. And then, of course, when the Nuremberg trials came up after the war, everything was done to keep anybody from understanding the occult background of the Third Reich. And that's covered in a book called Spiritual Politics by Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson. We don't carry it, but it's very important you understand that the common denominator behind this whole move towards world government, the international financiers and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and Skull and Bones and Masonry and Rosicrucianism and Theosophy and the Templars, has been Luciferianism. They worship a different God. And although most of the people don't understand, there is a spiritual component to all of this, and those same dark spiritual forces are here in the United States. And if you doubt that, you need to get our four-tape set entitled Operation Paperclip. It goes into how our CIA brought the Nazis to America and helped them escape to South America after the Second World War. But the average American must never know that. You see, there are certain secrets the people cannot accept, because most people cannot accept the truth. Well, we do have that four-tape set. It's called Operation Paperclip. We certainly have Professor Sutton's books, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. And, of course, we have his book on the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We have his book on the Gold for Survival and Gold for Trading. I believe both of those books. We have that interview. Really, nobody else has it. It's an interview I did with Professor Sutton, and we call it The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, going to how we finance the communists and we finance the Nazis. Yes, we finance the North Vietnamese, the finest enemy money could buy. And 3 million North Vietnamese perished, and 58,000 American boys perished. And who is funding Al-Qaeda today? Well, one of them, of course, is Communist China. And who's funding Communist China? Of course, the other countries are Pakistan. And who's funding Pakistan? And Saudi Arabia. And who's funding Saudi Arabia? The best enemies money can buy. Ladies and gentlemen, understand there are spiritual forces behind everything going on today. You need to get our four tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends. You need to get the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. To understand how the system really works, why you may want to get our one of our newsletters. We'll send you one free of charge. I would suggest perhaps the Economic Hitman, going into John Perkins' book, which we do carry, going into how the empire was established, the American empire, and how, of course, we got these countries throughout the world to get deeply in debt, and so half the money they collect is used to pay off the interest on their loans, and that's how we enslave the people in third world countries. All the time we talk about how concerned we are about them. We'll be glad to send you the newsletter, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I think that's the January newsletter. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a free copy of the newsletter. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can pull down our newsletters and read them free of charge, copy them, distribute them, tell others about our programs, and, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.